to pay paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
Yeah, but they're putting a windmill in it. Walmart, that's right. Maybe more than a windmill, maybe even a whole windmill field. We're talking to Walmart executive Andy Rubin, vice president of sustainability, and we're joined in this segment by NRDC's Ashok Gupta, who is part of the Walmart team that NRDC has assembled. What brought this about?
I think as you were discussing, we saw an opportunity. We had to gauge how serious this was, and from everything we heard and all the conversations, we realized Walmart was serious, and we felt it was our responsibility to really bring our expertise to the table and help make these goals, achieve these goals that Walmart had set, and also to make sure that the results were delivered on, and that we as independent experts could help verify what happened here. So I think there were a lot of reasons to do this, and we saw this as part of our overall strategy of really bringing new solutions to the marketplace combined with policy. And we didn't see this in place of other things, but really along with the litigation we do and the policy we do, we thought engaging one of the largest companies in the world was important to do as well.
Now, I want to give Mr. Rubin a chance to give some specifics. Some of the ones that have impressed me is they're looking at their whole jewelry division and looking at sustainable gold. Certainly, transportation is a big one in terms of improving efficiency of their huge fleet of trucks. And also packaging, which was mentioned earlier, one of my pet peeves. So maybe you can expand on each of those and tell us what else you're proud of, including your seafood program.
Absolutely. And, you know, one example that is just a question of how come this wasn't already happening is with the trucking fleets. We've got a fairly large
trucking fleet. Good
question. Yeah, it's a question we've asked more and more as we get into this. A fairly large trucking fleet, and what currently happens when you see a truck idling on the side of the road is they're running their diesel engine to idle that truck, to cool the cabin, to provide auxiliary power. There are solutions out there. We've just retrofitted our entire fleet with these auxiliary power units. It uses about one-tenth of the diesel to do that than running the engine in the front. Just on an annual basis, that change alone is 10 million gallons of diesel a year avoided, $25.5 million of savings at today's fuel prices, which, as we all know, keep going up, as well as 100,000 tons of greenhouse gas avoided. So, again, phenomenal opportunity. One of those things you look at and you say, how is it that we are not already thinking about this before? And then you mentioned others in product that are a little bit deeper, but, again, there are dozens.
I guess better late than never really comes to mind here because, again, once you connect the dots and once you see that this is of self-interest, you know, this is about preserving our human habitat, this is about our own children, our own grandchildren, our air, our water, you know, you wonder even how highly paid executives and big corporations cannot be, you know, at least thoughtful about that. This really, we're talking about this in the context of an encouraging trend, and that's seeing more and more environmental groups working more closely with more and more big companies, and there's none bigger than Walmart. I'd like to ask Ashok Gupta with the NRDC, how significant is this working with Walmart, and will this be the tipping point for this kind of collaboration?
I think it's very, very important that we use the power of markets to bring about the environmental change. I do think it is part and parcel of good policy, and we've been talking to Walmart about policies as well, and they have stepped forward in that arena. But if you look at what they're selling in their supply chain, clearly anything we can do to help improve the selling of more efficient electronic products, anything we can do in terms of how Walmart purchases electricity, or certainly, you know, the practices in terms of China, in terms of the products being produced there and the emissions impact there. So I think there's just a whole host of areas where working with Walmart to change practices as well as policies can really bring great dividends. And in the end, it's the results. It's the outcome that we're looking for. And it's us, you know, for us, it's really having another tool in our toolkit in terms of how we get things done. So this was an important addition. We've been doing it before, but this, not at this scale. This just takes it to a whole different level.
Okay, running out of time, and I have to ask you a question, Mr. Rubin. Just, you know, how do you reconcile Walmart's basic business model, which many people would call anti-environmental, just because of your size and the fact that you're selling so many consumer products that may, you know, help contribute to our hyperconsumption? How is that compatible with becoming a truly sustainable company? That's sort of the key question here.
Yeah, let me balance that with let me add into that with Ashok's last answer as well, is that what we see, I don't think we've ever viewed it as a model that intends to do as you characterized it. We view it as a model. We focus on doing things in a smarter way, and a lot of that, like the example we talked about, a lot of getting to those smarter practices, the smarter ways of doing business, requires a different set of eyes. And there has been nothing more important in this journey than those people who are outside the company, like Ashok and people, you know, at NRDC and others, who help us see things we hadn't seen before.
And might this new awareness actually lead to some downsizing of Walmart, either the size of the stores or your expansion plans? Because let's face it, you know, just, you know, putting in stores and putting in parking lots does, you know, destroy some habitat and does have ecological impacts, regardless of how green you are from the ground up.
Yeah, I actually don't know of anything that is not on the table. The idea, though, is to work within the market, not to go against the market. If we simply try and go against a consumer or societal-driven trend, customers will just shop elsewhere. So the idea is, how do you evolve that so you use the market as a source, a lever, as Ashok put it, of power to create change?
We're running out of time. I'd love to continue. We'll have to have you back. I'd love to hear how your customers are responding to this greening of Walmart. We've been speaking with Andy Rubin, Walmart's Vice President for Corporate Strategy and Sustainability, as well as Ashok Gupta with the NRDC, working with the Walmart team with that environmental organization. We'll be right back.